It's time for Advice Line. Call now at 800-866-8883. That's 800-866-8883. Here's your host, Roy Masters.
Well, I do have a very unusual program, and it's focused mostly on finding the fault in my audience. And that's not a very popular way of producing a program, but it's vital that we understand our faults. And the reason for this is if we don't understand our faults or won't, then others with an eagle eye, with an eye for advantage, they can exploit that. They can do that on an individual level, or they can do it politically en masse. As you've seen, as you know from experience or from history, from newsreels and video from the past, one man can control a whole nation. Adolf Hitler versus Stalin, Mao Zedong. I mean, you know, the list is endless. So, and all the suffering and trouble that comes from following the mindset of a leader, what one thinks, all thinks, Heil Hitler kind of stuff. And this, you know, last century was replete with genocides because of those mindsets. And it's always the innocents, always the innocent or the naive. I guess there's nobody really innocent, but, you know, comparatively innocent. We're all guilty in some way, but not little children. I mean, don't have a chance to even start. But the point is, genocide is never against the wicked, is it? It's the wicked that foment genocide. And so I would like the relatively innocent people of this country, the naive people of this country, who enjoy freedom and sometimes get so immersed in their enjoyment, they forget, you know, how they got here, how they got this wonderful freedom. When you compare yourself with other countries, you know, a host of them, they haven't even invented the wheel yet. They live in horror and terror and starvation and, I don't know, disease and all the horsemen of the apocalypse that's going to come down on us if we're not careful and not vigilant. We see people rising up in Iran for a little bit of freedom and risking their lives for it, and we are descending from ours and sort of like not being concerned, as if freedom will take for itself. It is this less lackadaisical concept, that this naivete, that we can sort of live in freedom and it not be threatened in some way. The one who advised all the kings of Europe how to control Machiavelli. He says, if I remember correctly, a nation that has just found its freedom has many enemies. That's it. And we found our freedom many years ago. I mean, the Declaration of Independence is, you know, just the ink is not dry on the paper yet, so to speak. And we have come a long way in a few hundred years. But we've also come a long way down in the last 50 years. So far down, we may not see how far down we are. And we're all part of it. And so the tendency to be turn the other cheek in religious terms as if it was a virtue and that sort of thing, and to wallow in our freedoms, to squander our freedoms and in the form of license, and thinking now that we're free we can kind of do what we want and live irresponsibly, which we all have to some degree, is an invitation to war. Sooner or later, if we don't remain strong and vigilant, we have to pay for it with our lives. And I would not like to see this happen again. I believe in whoever said, if you want peace, prepare for war. So in order for you to prepare for war, you have to be strong, and you have to, you know, have your battlements, and you have to have your the Virgil, the always looking out for dangers, and be prepared. Be prepared for war. Understand your weakness, because the enemy, if you don't, the enemy does. And when you have those weaknesses collectively, you can expect a war. If we do not understand our collective weaknesses, there are always those who would like to take the prize of America. And it's happening, actually. So if you'll please have a cup of coffee and draw up a chair and listen to me for a while, and call me at 800-866-8883. We'll talk.
The Foundation of Human Understanding teaches an observation exercise, often called meditation, which permits you to become objective toward your problems and allows your heartaches, bad habits, fears, and anxieties to be completely eliminated from your life without effort on your part. Until you have begun to practice this exercise, much of what you see and hear on the following program may be shocking and upsetting to you. But if you will listen calmly and with an open mind, you may discover the key to the peace of mind and joy for which you've been searching all of your life. And now, from the Foundation of Human Understanding, here is Roy Masters.
Well, let's see if you can follow me now. I said that if you want peace with your wife, with your husband, I don't mean this in a pejorative way, by the way, but what I'm about to say. If you want peace with your neighbor, your boyfriend, your girlfriend, if you want not to be taken over by your own government, if you don't want to lose your job or have someone, you know, take advantage of you, then you all must be vigilant. And if you watch the animals, they're very vigilant. If you watch the squirrel, you know, with those little flickering head that stands on its hind legs and looks around, and you can see it's looking, always vigilant, because otherwise, if it's not, it's dead meat. It's dinner for something. And we also, we are, in a manner of speaking, I should say, we are food for others in our failure. And in fact, there are people who set you up to fail, so they can dine on your weakness. And it's an awful thing to say, but the human race, in generally speaking, the human nature is not good. And it's not intrinsically good either. It is potentially, it has a potential of it. And it's almost as if we were born with something wrong with us to begin with, so we could know what it's like. And that part seems to flourish first and grow first, with a saving grace somewhere nagging us, making us aware that our impulses, although they seem natural, they're not quite so, and it's very puzzling. And perhaps I'm talking to the wrong crowd. I do hope I'm talking to the right people, because I would like to help you solve your problems, and which are very easy to do. Now, I have a number of skills, and let me introduce myself to my new audience in case you're just crossing the dial and wondering what the heaven I'm talking about. What I have come to understand about the human race is that we are divided, for the most part, into predators and prey. And then, more than often, the predator himself is prey to another predator, and he or she, him or herself, is the prey. And there's something about being the prey which is, you're not eaten all the way. I mean, something is living off of you, like the Matrix. Someone is preying on you. So it could be the person preying with you. But somebody preying on you, taking advantage of your naivete, and you're not aware while you're losing your health, and you're not aware while you're losing your sensibilities and your direction, why you're becoming so hopeless. and depressed? Why things so gloomy? And why you're not getting ahead? And why some people do and you don't? And what's holding you back? And even if you're a religious person, you may not feel right about being right, like loving Jesus, as if there's something wrong with that. Well, there shouldn't be, but there might be. And I want to explore this with you. But I have learned that there is, it's not that you can find it anywhere, but it is a conspiracy. And the conspiracy is so old, and it passes from predator to predator, to those who rise from government to government or kingdom to kingdom. So whatever it is, from religious powers, religious organizations, like the Catholic Church or the Muslims, the big, huge organizations which go from generations to generations, like cannibals. You know, cannibals elect cannibals. What kind of person would a cannibal elect but another cannibal? Which represents what they are. And the one who represents the cannibal king is going to make sure everybody's cannibals, because that's what he's elected for. So when cannibals go to war to eat people, they're led by the chief cannibal. See, so what I'm trying to say here is that cannibalism practiced for thousands and thousands of years with no change in that part of the world. What person would dare to stand up and say, there's something wrong with cannibalism? You see, it would become the norm. Everybody, the women would give birth to little children and expect them to be good cannibals. They'd be proud if they weren't, they need enough people. Shrink enough heads. They may not be proud of their kids. You see, or maybe they're depressed and they have not eaten enough people, and the cannibal psychiatrist will say, you know, you're not trying hard enough. The reason why you feel depressed is that you need to try harder and make sure you eat at least three people a year. And so you don't expect anyone to rise in that, or anyone in Germany, under Hitler Germany, to rise up and stand up, because everyone has the identity of the Führer, of the Earth God, the One. See? So, and in Russia, the same way with Stalin, no one would dare to rise up. Anybody would stand up. But the people would attack him, because, you see, there's something's wrong with being born into a system that goes on and on and on. And America has succeeded in doing it differently. Because people seeking freedom from that system have come all over the world to create a great nation. And look what we've done. With all our troubles, with all our imperfections, look what we've accomplished. And now there's a big danger. Will we elect a dictator? Are we degenerating in our freedom? Because it seems like every freedom is lost somehow. Rome, the great Republic of Rome, lasted about 800 years. 400 years of magnificence and 400 years of decline. 400 years is a long time. 400 years one way up and 400 years all the way down. There's just a few monuments and relics left over. Bridges and stuff. So, if it can happen to them, the greatest republic of all, from and Greek knowledge and laws, we have taken the best of everything and called it our constitution, and we need to live by the laws that were laid down by the founding fathers, which is a political equivalent of our conscience. If we would listen to our conscience, we wouldn't even need that. As Thomas Paine said once, he said, if the men would listen to their conscience, we'd need no other lawgiver. So I tell you, there are people who have mesmerized you, they have seduced you and serenaded you, and entertained you and made you and mesmerized you, literally exploited, seduced you away from that state of mind, what I call sovereignty, a sovereign state where we're all kings, and because we're sovereign over our own self, and we have the common sense lived, that which Thomas Paine referred to as that if we would listen to our conscience, if we would live it, express it, we wouldn't need a lawgiver. But since we are not all that way, we need a constitution to protect those who are listening to their conscience and don't really need a lawgiver. The laws are necessary to protect us from those who are lawless, as the Ten Commandments would do likewise. It would be the same thing in the days of Judaism. Didn't work very well. And it seems to me our constitution has been overrun so that nobody seems to know what it is anymore, not even the judges who legislate from the bench. And we've been overrun. And we don't seem to care much because right now we're free, but we're really slaves, but we don't know it yet. There's the forces at work. And I would have you understand this thing, and that's why I opened my program and said, I have a different program, and the difference between me and other talk show hosts, which basically I am in a way, in a teacher in another way, but trying to make it entertaining and interesting by having you call with a problem, 800-866-8883. 800-866-8883. I'm having a little problem with putting up my thesis for Gravity-Driven Universe. I wasn't happy with it this evening, so I may take it down, but by tomorrow I should have it resolved. If something happens when I get my staff to do something simple, they make it more complicated, and it always seems to be a problem. And I can't always be there, and I don't understand enough about the website to get things where they should. They make it more complicated than it needs to be sometimes. So bear with me. You can go to the website and check it out. It does have Gravity-Driven Universe, and it's going to be the subject of my conversation for 2 hours on Friday night. The gentleman, the physicist that I wanted to interview, cannot come because he agrees with me in some way. And he's afraid that if he agrees with me that I don't believe the Big Bang could have possibly existed, and I have given my reasons, and he was quite surprised at the reason I gave. He have to agree with that. He would lose his job. He would be considered a heretic. But since I don't belong to the Big Bang Club and the 11 Universe or whatever they are club, and the String Theory Club, I don't belong to that. I'm a free agent, and I'm a theoretical physicist, and I can only be theoretical because I'm free from any of that, and I don't make my living that way. Well, one day I might. So this is my... this is my avocation, you see. My vocation is helping you to understand, you know, how, for instance, even comes to physics. We have become politically correct. We've lost our freedom. So if you don't belong to the Big Bang Club, and if you don't belong to the 11 universes or 15, whatever they are, and the Strength of Theory Club, if you don't belong to that, you don't, that elite group, if you disclaim that, try to say it doesn't exist, and you're just as much of a physicist as they are, if not better, and you've got some better ideas, that's not it, friends. I've got it, what you think you got. No, immediately you're shouted down. It's like, well, in this country, it's the same thing with being a decent person. You'll be a Sarah Palin and want to run for president, and have a beautiful family, and because you're not ugly like everybody else. See, ugly's in. Evil's in. And lies are in. Deceit is winning. And we're afraid to stand up. It's like being born into a cannibal country. We're beginning to lose our ability to stand up to those who point their finger at us. It's almost like we're living in the world of body snatchers. Remember the movie? The Invasion of the Body Snatchers, I thought it was a stupid movie, but it was a very clever movie. We got body snatched while we were sleeping. I get it. That's hypnotic states. So I am talking about hypnotic states here. You don't know how I'm a professional hypnotist amongst my other endeavors. I am. There's very few people know more. The CIA, the FBI, they don't know any more. I may know more than them. As a matter of fact, I'm quite sure I know more than all put together. It was my work. I'm 81 years old. I discovered it. Couldn't find a book on it. Go find a book on it, and it's all wrong. It doesn't explain it properly. Not even how you induce it. But you go talk to Karl Marx if you could drag him up, dredge him up, or Pavlov, right? Ivan Pavlov, or any of the social engineers who have pioneered, taken it, sophisticated the techniques of mind control. They understand that I understand, and they're listening to me. And they are afraid that I will share with you what faults you have that they can exploit, which they already have, for which reason you're afraid to speak up in your own country. Are you not afraid to speak up in your own country? Yes, you are. You are, because you're politically correct. If you show that you don't like Obama or something, you might not get a job. You might lose your dealership or something. You see what I mean? It's getting like that, isn't it? So, you know, you might be, the IRS may come after you. As they did, I believe, during the election, I noticed that there was a slew of ads. Are the IRS, do they have you on a treadmill? I think they are the political arm of the left wing, which I think of as communists and not Americans. I mean, the Democratic Party I'm speaking about. And, of course, it's not their fault that the Republicans were weak husbands, if you know what I mean. And that's why he let it happen. They didn't know how to stand up either, did they? Didn't know how to protect us from the evil one. So, it's nice to have some calls here. 800-866-8883. Let's take our first call. 800-866-8883. We're going to go to Martin in Alabama. Hello, Martin. How do I get the most potential out of what I'm teaching, right?
Yeah. How are you, Roy? I listen to your station sometimes when I'm at work. I work as a night security guard. And, you know, the only entertainment I have, of course, it's really all I need is a radio. And so late in the evenings, your broadcast is a recast, so to speak.
Yes.
On my radio station, and I enjoy listening to it. I get a lot of to say entertainment would be to say for the lack of a better word, but I really enjoy the program. I get a lot out of it. You seem to have a lot of theological ideas, the same as myself. You know.
Yes.
And,
they're practical theological ideas. The theological ideas that you suggest, and correctly so, should have the key to solving our problems. We wouldn't need psychiatry and psychology if we found the Lord, as you say.
Exactly. I've agreed with pretty much everything that I've ever heard you say. I hope I don't get broken down by you like some callers do.
I mean, it could happen. I don't worry if it does. It does. It's sometimes a beautiful thing.
Yeah, exactly. Sometimes we need it. And the reason for my call this evening is, like I said, I listen to your program, and I've gone to your website and become a member on the website. And not diligently have I tried in the past, but what I mean is when I try to listen to the meditation process, my biggest problem is I have a really hard problem focusing and getting my mind to stop wandering from hither.
Well, that is the beginning. That is the difficulty to begin with. So do not be concerned about the fact that when you try to stand back from thought, it grabs you, and pretty soon you're lost in it again.
Exactly.
And that is your problem, actually. What you're doing is facing the fact that you have trained unconsciously, ignorantly, I don't know, with other appropriate words, but not meaning to, perhaps, not understanding the dangers of it, thinking of it only being normal, that one has to have an imagination, And, you know, yes, but one can't live there but and dwell there and be the king of our own universe. And we can make kind of things happen by weighing one thing against another. As if it's almost like, how can I say this about our imagination? It's like a realm in which we are either ego. We live in this realm and we want things to happen, but they don't happen as well as God does in his universe. You see what I mean?
Exactly.
And so, but then because we fail the ego is like God. When you're living in that universe and you fall into the realm of your ego, is like a spirit. And a spirit is lost amidst a world of bits and pieces of images and knowledge, which it tries to assemble into some kind of reality, as if it could. But sadly, it doesn't realize that lost in the imagination, another force is at work playing with you and helping you to create a reality that looks like what is workable. Like you could really be something. You really could be brave and clever and smart. The trouble is that everything turns out wrong. And you're really not in charge of anything, and you really get upset about these things. And your life starts to get worse, but then you are becoming wrong. You get to feel guilty, and God, which is you playing God in your universe, but you don't know you're playing God in your universe, is angry. And also you have, strangely enough, because you're playing God, making all these decisions and living in your imagination, weighing one thing against another as if you could make a purpose and you could be the center of it and to make a universe and everybody loves you. And you can imagine yourself receiving the Medal of Honor or whatever it is, or becoming judge and executioner, king or judge, king with everybody loving you, or executioner because you want to get even with everybody. That would make you a god, some kind of god. In that world, you try to make some things come true, and if you get mad when you become a jealous god, an angry god. So when you're in there, though, you are not in charge of anything. Something is, and you cannot see it. And it thinks through you, and you think it's you thinking. And so another you is forming and pulling the strings of your thoughts. And it needs emotions, excitements, love, compliments, which you work hard for, many people do, approval, or judgment, a reason to judge, meaning God is judge. Both those things. God needs praise, look for approval, and when you're damned if you get it, you become a slave of that approval, and then it turns out that you're not living your own life. You're just living a life to make everybody happy, and damned if they're happy, and damned if they're not happy, because you somehow have become dependent upon being a slave. Oh, this doesn't make sense. You're a god. How can you be a slave? How can you be? You're sinking lower, and you got angrier. And this god becomes very angry when it's being tricked, but it can't see what's doing it. Are you following my logic here?
I am. Yes.
So actually, you're glued. You're glued to your thoughts. You're literally glued, because if you would become loosened from your thoughts, you see how you've shriveled.
Hmm?
You see how your soul has shriveled. How wretched you've become, how deformed you've become. There's something inside you that's afraid. You are beginning to be afraid of waking up. So the tendency is to want to cling to those thoughts. There's something in you that makes you cling to those thoughts as if it was life itself. It's death. So it's little wonder that because of your ego, which is deriving its sense of worth from the world around, the love of the world, in a manner of speaking, emotional states, finds it difficult to separate itself from what it's become. Hold a second, and maybe I've given you too much, but we'll be right back. Yes, I would I'd like to direct your attention to the website, because Friday, if I can get the website running the way I want, I've put up on the web my... I was a little bit tired of waiting for it to be discovered and all the rest of it, and for physicists, for the world of physics to be nipping away and taking little pieces of my thesis. I think I would wanted rather just declare it all, saying, well, I don't think they're going to ever figure out how to get electricity from gravity. I know how to do it. But I've developed a theory of gravity which turns their theories on it upside down completely. It's called Gravity-Driven Universe, and it's really the first part of a whole book, a whole series of thoughts. But it's just a little bit of what I know, but enough to turn physicists' head upside down. But you can go to the web, FHU.com, and see Gravity-Driven Universe and my picture with Einstein's... I'm in a universe where Einstein's shadow is behind me, and I'm standing there with folded arms, and you see that. So you click on that, and you go to the thesis, and go to the book called Finding God in Physics, which is for the layperson. It's a very interesting book. It will spin the heads of some of physicists, because it's very spiritual, as well as very, very accurate description of what gravity is. I call it pre-time force. I don't call it gravity in that book, but in the thesis, which is about 30 pages, which you can download in PDF form, Gravity-Driven Universe shows clearly what gravity is. Gravity is not a property of matter, just like they think. It's not even a property of space. No, space, time, and mass is a property of gravity. And that's upside down completely to modern thinking. And they don't know what it is, but I do. I spent a lot of time on that. And I've spent a lot of time unscrewing people's heads, too, in the last, 56 years, actually. So I have published this work. I've given talks before the American Physics Society, and Irish reads a very polite applause, sometimes enthusiastic, but it doesn't go anywhere because I don't belong to the clubs. And I don't think I will go anywhere unless I push it forward and jam it down their throat, so to speak. So you can all read it. I'm just giving away all my secrets, but not all my secrets. Because it will spin your head. You'll lose sleep when you read it. But it was so fascinating. I'm encouraging you to go to the website, because I'm going to have a two-hour talk. 2 hours with any physicist that cares to disagree with me. I'm putting up my thesis as if, fight me. Argue with me on the radio, if you can. Bring all your intellects. Bring Goliath. Bring me Goliath. And I this is my world. Gravity is my world. You don't know anything about gravity, because you just know the machinery. You know the mathematics of it. But I know what it is and where to dig for oil. I know how it's done. I keep that in my head. I'm going to give you some clues like you wouldn't believe in this 30 pages. Clues you wouldn't believe, but it's true. Every single word of it. We'll be right back. So I'm preparing you for Friday. Bring your physicist. You may need a psychiatrist to bring with you. You'll need some treatment after the program. We'll be right back.
Listening to Advice Line with Roy Masters. Call Roy at 1-800-866-8883.
I forgot the foundation website is FHU.com. Easy. Or call my office 800-877-3227 and get a copy of the book if you haven't got a computer. Now, Martin, I think I said too much, and maybe I better should stick to simplicity, because when I talk about the conscious mind and the world of fantasy, which we call the subconscious, where we dwell too long, so we can never see clearly as we should, and never follow the path which we were created to follow, but unconsciously have been sort of tricked into following some other path, for which reason we are depressed and unhappy and cannot function as we to our full extent. So if I was to say with the simplicity, I would get more people calling, but I don't want to trick people into using that meditation and waking up and having to face the other side of themselves without me warning. That's what will happen. And so I'm telling you that it's very possible for you, when you can snap out of being lost in your thoughts, which you need to do not with anger, but understand that if you don't have faith, then believe me, I may be lying to you, but you must use your intuition to discern whether I'm telling you the truth, that it's very necessary for you to separate from your thought. And in the beginning, because you may not have suffered a lot, may not suffered enough to make you want to cry out, God, where are you, sort of thing, you're still struggling with your thoughts, because that's the evidence of it, and you're struggling with those thoughts that own you. Your soul is owned by what lurks in your thoughts. And the world around you, it came in from the world around you through trauma and not dealing with life properly, beginning school and parents. It got in. Something got in, and everybody on earth is infected by it. It's like a virus, and we don't know we have it. And all the diseases and all the suffering come from it. And it's really a disconnect from our Creator, a loss of original innocence and something unholy sitting in the place of the holy, which we think is us. And saying that is scaring the living daylights out of most people. So no wonder, you know, people think twice before they go to the download the CD, as cheap as it is. But Jesus knew it, and I know it, but we have become such a corrupt nation that, you know, we have sunk. When we have a lot of money and we have opulence the way we do, not like in Israel when Jesus was around, they'd hardly have money for a loaf of bread, you see. And so, but now we have, even the poorest people can buy dope. That's how opulent we are. And so we have sunk. We have come to a state of deformity, generally, all of us, even rich and poor, religious and otherwise, to a state of, well, we've been treated by pills and drugs, legal and illegal, all of which have allowed us to get worse. They never really help us at all. But we all feel better, and we all live to older ages. It's better living through chemistry, not better living for any purpose at all, except staying alive, just to be selfish, continue to being selfish, and then we die, having never really discovered the purpose. And those purpose in others is to kill us and to maim us and to keep us blocked from reality, just like the cannibal king doesn't want the cannibals to be sovereign citizens. Or who needs him? They put him in prison for what if they could see clearly. Barack Obama would be in prison if we could wake up and see what he's doing, but we can't wake up. We can't wake up from our girlfriends. Can't wake up from our wives at what our wives are doing. I mean, we live with a woman and she controls us. And we think we're loving her, but she's manipulating us. And we may know it, but we hate it, but we can't give it up for some reason. And the drug pusher and the addict have the same relationship. Exactly. And the gambler and the gambling table. See? It's everywhere, different forms. There are people live before dying. And now I have you here, and I'm trying to explain to you the best way I can, so other people will understand it, if they will, that we are owned by the world we live in, the spirit of it that lives through other people, and other people have their strings pulled to pull your strings. They do unto others what was done to them. They are controllers, and they're a predator. There are predators that use you, but the predator is also prey. And it goes up, and the person who is prey the predator is prey to a predator. They have a predator, and it goes along until people die off. But usually we're left alone with a cannibal king, a dictator. Slowly but surely, our because the body of people are not God-centered, and we're all emotionally entwined and connected to each other in a very unhealthy way, with drugs and alcohol and entertainment and music, all binding us, all drawing us away from our sovereignty. This is the reason why we're losing our freedom. And medicine can't cure it. Psychology can't cure it. Nothing can cure it except returned to the state of Paradise Lost, which is within you if you can sit still long enough, if you can persevere and not get angry with not being able to sit still, but to sit quietly several times a day instead of wandering around in your thoughts. Sit quietly and realize, oh my God, I can't keep my thoughts still. But don't get angry at it, because anger is the energy behind it that keeps you locked in. Your own struggle means you're trying to save yourself. And so when you find you cannot, you're not king, you're not in control of your own thoughts, and you thought you were. Here you can't control your thoughts, and your thoughts play with you, mock you. No, what you need to do, my friend, is to sit quietly every day for 10 or 15 minutes. Don't do it too long, because otherwise you get fixated. And do the best you can. And then wait twice a day, three times a day, sit in the lunchtime in your car, and just follow the instructions. And maybe you succeed. You may succeed without realizing that for a fraction of a second you have done it. But you may not have noticed, because the fraction of a second was so fractional, like a millisecond. But it only takes a millisecond, a little crack in that connection, in that fixation to your thoughts, to let a little light in. And you may start improving, even though you think you're failing, to do it, to that, do that little exercise. Do you follow what I'm saying?
Yes, I do.
Have you noticed any changes?
Well, yes, yes. I remember the first time I listened to the exercise. Like I said, I get it off my computer.
Yes.
And I listen to the exercise. And when I sit in the chair and I listen to the exercise where you discuss focusing on your hand laying there.
But very gently.
Right.
No, but through the middle, through the eye. Can you do it now for a minute? Can you close your eyes just for a moment and be aware of your eyelids? You could do that.
Yeah, let me. Okay.
Can you do that?
Yes, yes.
Okay, now, what do you see when you're looking at your eyelids? You're actually seeing your forehead, or is it like a big screen? And actually, there's no thought there.
Right, it's like a big television screen.
Well, you've already done it. You've already done it, just right there. Now, there's not much more to that than if you can just... Now, it's like a big TV screen with little colored pixels floating around.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. That's you looking at your. That's you looking at the program from God. God doesn't talk to you in words. He talks to you in a program, like you download a computer from your satellite. So you actually see a movies from on your satellite. You can't see it. There's just a dish up in the sky, and it's all invisible. But you're actually seeing those little dots, those little flashes, are programs, life force for your body. And if you can just extend that awareness, that those little flashes of colored lights that you see, into now look through the middle of your forehead there. Just watch that and see if you can be aware of your arm and be aware of your first finger. It will begin to tingle. That's the same energy, and now you're energizing yourself from within, so that what you begin to understand will follow that track. In other words, it has its own energy. I'm speaking to you through a microphone, and you're in Alabama. And it's almost instant, but if it wasn't energy, electricity, that travels fast, speed of light, it's almost instant. If it wasn't for this energy, I'd be talking to myself in my room, in my studio. In other words, a little bit of energy, it doesn't take much, very little, to send a signal to you, to your receiver. Your consciousness is a receiver. And then that energy flows into your subconscious, into every pore of your being, and it gets life force. The tingling of your fingers, it can be all over your body after a while. So you'll feel that in the beginning, where after a while you get used to it and you won't notice it anymore. But in the beginning, that tingling spreads. And it's life force, and so that... The program, the purpose for your life, even which you don't even know what it is, but you shouldn't care, it begins to unfold. And the first thing you will notice is that you're more patient with yourself and people. Am I correct?
That is, I would have to say that would be correct.
Yes. So don't be dismayed. You're on your way. it will take a little while. Some people magically become transformed. But you could take people from the lowest depths of hell, and they cry the loudest. They cry the strongest. They know that love isn't round the corner. They're dying in their prison cell. They're sentenced to death somewhere. Or they're dying from cancer. And suddenly, they cry out in a certain way from the depths of the... They can't go any lower, deep down inside. Even though they may look like normal to everybody else, they may. But they themselves are so depressed. But there's something in some people that resign themselves to death and die, even kill themselves. But something makes them kill themselves. It talks to them in language. Language is the enemy of reality. But it's not the enemy of reality from a person like me. All I want to do is bring you to the wordless word. My words finish. The wordless word takes over because I'm speaking to you from a wordless world. I found the words to say it, or it's given me, it shows me where the words are, and it talks through me, and so you can hear whatever it is you've forgotten awaken in you in a special way that isn't mechanically learning. You understand me, don't you? In other words, it's a nourishment. It's like a breath of fresh air, isn't it?
Exactly.
And well, that's all there is to it. And never think of it any more than a journey through Disneyland, in a manner of speaking, but there's nothing artificial. Ah, look at that. Your mind will, the light will show you, look at that. And look at this. And look at that. And you find yourself remembering them, not knowing why. And then he puts them together for you. Oh! Never stops. Your journey never stops. And from that knowledge, you're able to see things that other people cannot. And go to places and, like, if I don't know anything about television, I can't fix it. Well, it's the same thing. You have no future until the repairman is inside you fixing your head. And it's also projecting into your future ahead of you. But you can't see it, but you know. Somehow you feel secure in every step you take. You know you're doing the right thing. Or you're doing the wrong thing and you shrink from it. It's clear. Bang. You've given up your own will. His will functions. Yours doesn't. You don't want your will to function. It never was your will. Okay. I hope that's helpful, my friend. Okay? And if next time you call me with a problem and not with a technical question, and I will help you. That was a technical question. All right, we'll be right back. Well, I do hope you enjoyed that. Actually, I enjoyed talking to the person because I don't like sitting in front of the microphone just lecturing. When I'm talking to another person, it draws it out in a certain way. It may be different from one person to another. But some of it's the same, and I never get bored with it. And every time I say it, it's so like I understand myself that that process is even more beautiful. It's going on inside me. There's nothing to it, but there is everything to it. It's like you can't do mathematics without zero. I suppose you could be difficult. So without the zero, there's no one. Where did the one come from? I mean, why do we need a zero for math? It means zero is not a negative, it's not nothing. It's something, but... Well, again, if you do nothing, if you learn to be still, very quiet, then you would understand how the universe was created out of nothing, because all of a sudden new thoughts come from nowhere. And so, oh, I see that, but nobody told you. Oh, I know what my mother meant by that, but she didn't know what she meant. But see how that is? You understand things that I can listen to professors who really don't understand what they're saying, but they think they're understanding it because they've learned it and they've jumped through the hoops. I know it. I see things. I see what they don't see. I will tell you, light goes through a crystal, comes out the other side, same speed as it went in. And they just leave it like that. I said, why does that happen? How do you throw a baseball through a window and come out the same speed? Why does light do that? I asked the physicist, they don't know, and they don't care. They just use the knowledge. I know what that is. Wow, they're missing something. It's a wind of some kind. It blows like a feather. That's what you find in my thesis when you go to my website, fhu.com. I'll put my thesis up there. And Friday we're going to have a talk with physicists, if any dare to call. I haven't got one scheduled. I don't think they'll come on. They're going, I really don't think I'd have many to take us on it, so I may have to run it myself. You might be the callers. You might want to read the physics, Finding God in, you know, Finding God in Physics is the book, but the machinery of how it works, the beginning of it, I'm putting it up for grabs so that if you have enough brains, you might be able to build that machine. But I doubt it, because really, 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 the stuff there is so deep, your mind will spin. It's so simple, it's hard. I have to say it over and over again to get to the main points, which are towards the end of the thesis. So go there and get the meditation to the technique that I was talking to the gentleman now, to call Be Still and Know, and then you really understand it. Really understand, like a flash of light. Flash of light's worth a million books. Be right back.
You're listening to Advice Line with Roy Masters. You can reach Roy at 1-800-866-8883. That's 1-800-866-8883.
Hello, here we are again. We have another call. 800-866-8883. We have an hour and 10 minutes left, so let's go with our caller. How do you pronounce? Janana. That's Janana. Very unusual. What does that mean? What is it? A meaning?
Light.
Ah, lovely. Hope you live up to it. Now, what can I do for you?
I do. I study very much. I came to the United States 30 years ago, and I study because I wanted to find out what is this all about? What is life about? But this question came about 3 years ago. But I study everything that can be studied, most important. And I heard about you many years ago from a friend of mine. And now I got a radio, a wave radio. And very hard I heard you tonight. But I really wanted to talk with you. After all those studies that I had done, I came to my own conclusion. And I am never... I think that I am so ignorant after all those studies that I study, because the simplicity of Jesus Christ, which very recently I start to study because I didn't want to study the Bible. And 10 years ago I started to study the Bible because I had been crippled and nothing worked.
Can I make a suggestion here?
Yeah.
Please do not study anything, but scan it. Do you know what I mean by scan? Like, listen to my words. So I'm saying to you, please do not study, but then be not to be rigid. I mean that you shouldn't read, not that you shouldn't read or search, but it's the kind of searching which doesn't require you to memorize what you've. It's as if you could put all those words together and everything you'll learn, you'll have because of all this knowledge, you have much wisdom. Not at all. You see what I mean?
Mr. Roy, you know what I observed from all this struggling? I observed that, and the conclusion was that there is only one God, which
yes.
is life. It's like a glue keeping everything together.
Yes.
And why are so many teachers? Why are so many explanations when there is only one God? And Jesus Christ, he said, my Father is doing the works, not me.
So that's it.
From the Father, I understand mind.
Yes.
He had the mind of God. And so I started to heal the crippledness that I had by surrendering my whole body to the God, to Christ, to that substance of love. And then
I'm not going to argue. I'm not going to argue. And
yeah.
you're actually saying very good things. But right now, the word Jesus and Christ and God doesn't mean much to people. And if they do, they think they have what they haven't. Because they got the words in their head. They are on a journey of collecting words, and
but
only words. You see what I'm trying to say?
Aren't they then the people of this physical universe? That they enjoy the system of this world, which is duality. they love duality, the contradiction, the striving, the love, the pain, the whatever,
The love of the world is a different kind of, it's a different kind of reaching out to the world, is reaching away from God. Reaching towards the knowledge of good, the knowledge of evil, the excitement, the pleasures, the glory,
exactly.
The fun, that's not where it's at. And when you realize, when it strikes you, that's not where it's at, and suddenly you stop doing it, then it's like, if you eat candy before dinner, you're not hungry for the real food. So you've got to stop filling yourself with the world so God can fulfill himself in you. Okay, I'll take my other calls, but I think the lady I think she's on the right track, and I hope I've been helpful to those who've listened. And I thank you very much. Is it Ivana? Chuchinana, thank you.
Can I say one thing more? Please tell me, on your own words, what is the purpose of life?
To find the purpose of life. This is just to find the purpose of life. When I was a little boy, I was 1 year old or less. I know I couldn't speak, and this is how it was with me. I have never forgotten it, and I've been that way ever since. With one deviation, by being married, I got angry a little bit. But it didn't last long because I realized anger was taking me further away from what was good. Anyway, I remember me saying the very first thoughts that came to my mind, I remember the very first thought, and was, what am I here for? Like you just asked me. There's a very good question. If you leave it alone, you will know. Do not search for it. It will come to you. Do not search for it, because it's in all the books, but it's convoluted everywhere. There's a bit of peace, there's a bit there. Your eye will fall on it. It will come to you in a conversation, and a baby's cry, and a bird flying. Something, you'll remember this. For some reason, you don't know why you remember that. Or a scripture, a few words in the scripture, or something I said. And don't try to figure it out. It will do it for you. It'll put it together for you. And you go, oh, that's... And that's, you'll be like that. You'll be in wonder all your life, and that's prayer. To wonder, to marvel, is to pray. See? And to receive answer to prayer. The purpose. What is your purpose? I don't know what it is, but every step has a little, like a light, with a light in front of it. That's all you need to know. No more. It isn't boring. It's wonderful. Be right back.
If you've been helped by the work Roy Masters is doing on the radio, please consider paying forward the gift you have received so others may benefit as well. The Pay It Forward program allows you to automatically donate the amount you want on a monthly basis. Even just $5 a month from people who care will make a difference. Or you can make a one-time donation and help support our radio program and website, as well as our prison ministry and Patriot Outreach program. If you'd like to contact us by mail, write to the Foundation of Human Understanding, P.O. Box 1000, Grants Pass, Oregon, 97528. Or call Monday through Friday, regular business hours, West Coast time, 1-800-877-3227. Again, that's the Foundation of Human Understanding, P.O. Box 1000, Grants Pass, Oregon, 97528. For more information on the Foundation of Human Understanding, visit the website fhu.com. That's fhu.com. If you've been helped by the work Roy Masters is doing on the radio, please consider paying forward the gift you have received so others may benefit as well. The Pay It Forward program allows you to automatically donate the amount you want on a monthly basis. Even just $5 a month from people who care will make a difference. Or you can make a one-time donation and help support our radio program and website, as well as our prison ministry and Patriot Outreach program. If you'd like to contact us by mail, write to the Foundation of Human Understanding, P.O. Box 1000, Grants Pass, Oregon, 97528. Or call Monday through Friday, regular business hours, West Coast time, 1-800-877-3227. Again, that's the Foundation of Human Understanding, P.O. Box 1000, Grants Pass, Oregon, 97528. For more information on the Foundation of Human Understanding, visit the website, fhu.com. That's fhu.com.